Reese is going to be a politician. Everything. Either that or a preacher. I'm all things to all men that might by all means save some. Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord is good. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. It says this, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Jesus talking. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You think about Manson and others, the darkness. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you that take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. For they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, God, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Can you imagine Jesus at the sermon, he's giving them the Beatitudes and he's telling them these things, and they're sitting there listening to him. They're just dumbfounded, just hearing the wisdom coming out of his mouth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and now look what it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. The Lord's given them this sermon. He's given them this the riches of the kingdom, the kind of a law, and he's just explaining things to them, and they're sitting there with their mouths open, just looking at him going, wow, what wisdom. He said, your Father knows that you have need of these things. And I wanted to preach this morning on the first thing. And the first thing that God says that you ought to be doing in your life as a child of God. And, you know, you think the audacity of God. You think, God, what audacity he has to ask of me to seek him first. He says, what audacity? That's the way the world looks at it. But for a child of God, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That God wants me to seek him. And he says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. You have to make that first move. And the Lord says, first, seek ye the kingdom of God. The Lord wants you to seek him. The Bible says he goes about seeking those that desire him. He looks for those. And God wants some first things in your life, and he desires some first things in your life. I mean, you think about the firstborn. When the Bible says in the Old Testament, he said, all the firstborn are mine. God says, the firstborn are mine. You dedicate them to me. The firstborn. He talks about the lambs. He talks about the sheep. He talks about all the animals that he said, all the firstborn are mine. And he talks about even about the donkeys and the oxen, all the things he said, dedicate to me. And then you got the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment in the first and the first commandment of the Old Testament of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Look over to Exodus chapter 20. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I told you this. I had a woman telling me that she believed in keeping the Ten Commandments, but she didn't know she didn't know what they were. It says, and the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants first place. He says, I want first place. I shall not make on thee any graven images of any likeness, anything that is in heaven above, or that's earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. But thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. I was reading about this morning in my Bible reading about Paul standing on Mars Hill, and he says, I find that you all are so superstitious. Mars Hill's in Greece. That's where all the center of education comes from. I mean, we get our center of education from Greece. They say philosophy. That's Sophia, not Sophia. The word for philosophy is, well, anyway, I'll think of it in a minute, but for the word for philosophy, and here a philosophy comes out of Greece and all the, you know, got the Greek manuscripts and all that stuff. And Paul's saying, I find that you're so superstitious. Education will try to talk you out of God and putting God first. They'll say, oh, that's superstition. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And superstition is when education talks you out of serving a great God that made man and worshiping beasts and animals and the universe and Mother Earth. Isn't that something an educated man says, well, we're going to worship Mother Earth and worship trees and worship animals. I hear it's the educated folks doing all that. They don't worship God himself, the one that made all things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All what things? All the things that you have need of. All the things that he says, I take care of things in this earth. I take care of the animals. I take care of the trees. I take care of the grass. I take care of all that. He said, you'll seek me first. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Put me first. God wants first place. He doesn't want to play second fiddle nobody. He doesn't want to play second fiddle in your life. My wife is not first place in my life. My church is not first place in my life. My Savior is my first place in my life. That's where it ought to be, first place. I mean, God wants, he wants first place in your life today. I mean, he wants it without a doubt. He's not going to force himself. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to say, okay, here's where it is. I want, you know, I'm going to make you, I'm going to pin you down, and I'm going to make you worship me. No, God doesn't do that. He says, you choose. He gives you the choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to put him first, or are you going to put yourself first? You know what the world does? They're humanistic. They worship self. It's self they worship. Their education, they worship. I always say that, you know, the world's three gods are number one, money, then sex, and then education. Education's on the list, and they worship education. And they try to tell there is no God. But they go after the money, they go after the sex, and that's why the world's in the shape it's in. It's in a mess. And the Lord says, all you got to do is seek me. Come to me. He said, come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I mean, the Lord wants first place. He wants first place in our kids. When our children were we dedicated our kids to God. When they were born, we gave them back to God. And I'm going to say, you said, well, I don't want my children to be a missionary. I don't want my children to be a preacher. I don't want my children to go off and somewhere else and preach. And all. No, man, the best place you can do, like Hannah did, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. She gave God Samuel, and God used Samuel in a mighty way. And God, she was pleased what God did with his life. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you give God your life, you'll be pleased with what he does. You'll be able to see, look back and say, man, if I would have ran this life, if I would have had control of this life, I would have ruined it. I would have messed it up. And man, that's why I get such a blessing going to camp, seeing them kids go to the altar, getting their life right, getting and rededicating their life. You say, well, they do it and they come home for 2 weeks and then they only last 2 weeks. Or, well, at least for 2 weeks, man, they got God number one in their life. And that's why we have revivals. You say, why do we have that revival? We have church every Sunday and Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's to stir up our memory, to stir up what God's done in our life, to remember where he brought us from and where he's taken us to. I mean, first place, God wants first place. He wants it. He won't force it on you. He won't play second fiddle. He'll say, what are you going to do? The little boy gave him his lunch. And he said, here, Lord, I give it to you. And that little boy was his. He could have kept it. He could have kept whatever it was. And he ate it himself and said, sorry about your luck, Chuck. I mean, it's mine. He could have said that, but he didn't do that. He gave it to God and sat there and watched what God did with that lunch. It fed over 5,000 men plus women and children. And then he took home 12 baskets full. I mean, brother and sister, I tell you what, if you give your life and put God first in your life, you'll be amazed to see what he's going to do. I mean, you'll sit back at the end of your life. I preached up there dying like a fool. I don't want to die like a fool. I want to die with my, like I talked about Jack Woods dying with his boots on. And, you know, I want to die living for God and put him first in my life and put him, teaching my kids and my grandkids to put God first. Our whole life is about serving the Lord. It's just been about putting him first. I mean, the Lord wants first place. He says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take your Bible, look with me. Look with me to Mark chapter 9. Go to Mark chapter 9. God desires first place. Does he have first place in your life? Or who has first place? Is it you? Or is it a job? I tell people all the time, man, well, stay away from them jobs where you shift work. It kills you. And what happens before long, it'll take away your love. It'll take away, man, you just get so tired and so wore out. You don't know if you're coming or going. The devil designs a system against Christians. He designed the systems against anybody that would seek after God. You don't think so? I'll tell you what, just look around. Open your eyes a little bit. You'll see that the system's against you. It's against this book. And it's constantly, they're fighting against it. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 35. Mark 9, 35. Look what it says. Back up to 33. And he came to Capernaum. And being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? And they held their peace. My wife and I got to go to Capernaum. We went into Capernaum. They showed the remnants of Capernaum. In Capernaum, Jesus was in the synagogue there. We got pictures standing in the very floor that Jesus stood on is still there. And we was able to stand on that floor. That's where Peter's wife and family was. It says, dispute among yourself by the way. And they held their peace. For by the way, they that had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I mean, they're sitting around talking about who's going to be the greatest. That sounds like when I was in Bible school. All the guys were trying to figure out who's going to get the biggest church, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. I never thought about that. I thought, man, ain't no way I'll ever be a pastor. Ain't no way I'll ever do anything. I just want to serve the Lord, even if I clean the toilets. And he sat down. And by the way, those guys that sat around and talked about that, they're not even serving God anymore. And it says, he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first. Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to sit in front of the bus. Everybody wants first place. Everybody wants to be have all the attention. He says, he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, the servant of all. In God's economy, the way God sets it up, he said, you want to be first? He said, be last. Serve me. Be a servant. You want to be a servant? Why, man? Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to be the top dog. I want to be in the first place. I want to be in the pulpit. I want to be the one that has all the money. I want to be the one that everybody recognizes. I want to be the most famous. I want to be this. And the Lord said, you want to be first in my kingdom? He said, be last. He said, be a servant. Nobody wants to be a servant. Nobody wants to do that. He says, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive me, one of these children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. The Lord said, I'll tell you what, you want to be first? You all want recognition? Be a servant. I mean, receive these children. Love these kids. Love the souls of men. Care about those things. You want to be first? Everybody wants to be first. I mean, when we was at the airport in Tel Aviv, everybody was running for the customs. I mean, they were fighting to get to the customs, to get through so they can get out or get in. People are that way, man, just wanting to fight over everything. Get in there and just be first. I want recognition. I want to be this. I want to be that. I mean, the Lord said, you want to be first? Be last. Be last. I mean, that's the way the Lord sets things up. You want to be first? Be last. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. He said, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those people over in the graveyard, they're going to be first. They're going to be the ones to go up. I mean, the Bible says that they were first called Christians in Antioch, a Christian. Why? They reminded people of Jesus Christ. I mean, does somebody, do you remind your family of Jesus Christ? You want to be first? Be last. I mean, man, you know what the Lord said? He said, I've got something against you to the church of Ephesus. I got something against you because you left your first love. I mean, you remember when you first got saved, how much you loved the Lord? You remember how you would do anything for him? You remember, man, you just passing out track, you just witness anybody, you'd witness to a stop sign. It made no difference to you. You'd witness anybody. Remember how I'm preaching to myself. At times, I've got to the place where I've gotten cold. I've got cold towards him. And then he doesn't care. Whenever you get cold towards God, he loses first place. Whenever you get cold towards him, he loses that first place in your life. When he's first place in your life, no matter what, you want to serve him. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, you're going to put him first. You're going to pray about things. You're going to say, Lord, if you see fit to give this to me, if not, I'm not going to be mad at you. You know what? People get mad at God over circumstances of life. They get mad. They get mad they didn't get what they wanted. And then they start putting God on the back burner. He's not first anymore. You know what I found when Christians start, when God's not first place in their life, they start shunning church. They start shunning their Bible reading. They start shunning their witnessing. They start shunning all those things. And then the Holy Spirit of God saying, you know you need to get back. You know you need to get back. You need to get back to the place where God's first in your life. And you start saying, no. Nah. And what happens is you grieve the Spirit of God. You'll start grieving him. And man, before long, you'll quench him. And before long, he quits dealing with you about it. He'll quit dealing with you. It's okay. Go ahead. Have it your way. Do it your way. The Lord's saying, if you're going to give me first place, you're going to have to do it. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to force my way. I mean, he says that to the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. He says, I've got something against you. Look over with me. Revelation chapter 2. Look at it. God wants first place. He won't play second fiddle. We all slide from that first, you know, place of letting God have his way in our lives. We all get to that place, and what do you do? The Bible tells you right here what to do. He'll tell you what to do. How you get back to first place and let God be first place in your life? Look at it. He said, I know thy works, verse 2, and thy labor and thy patience. A lot of people labor for God, and they've served the Lord, but then they quit. And you know what's the saddest thing is see people that was on fire for God, live for God. I've known guys that I went to Bible school with, and they, you know, they pastor churches and all that stuff, and now they won't even go to church. They won't even go to church. They say, well, they blame Christians for it. And I tell them, I said, look, man, it's not Christians. I talked to a brother the other day. He graduated PBI where I went to school, and I said, hey, man, we're going to have a reunion out there. I know we're going to have a reunion out in Arkansas. You going to come? And he said, no, I don't want to get around all those guys. I said, why? He said, well, you know, I just ain't got nothing to say. I said, well, nobody's going to pick on you. Nobody's going to say, what are you doing? How come you ain't serving God? He said, well, I'm getting back in now. I'm getting back in. And I said, well, good, man. Just get out there. Encourage one another. And he says, well, I said, some of the guys at church, everybody's, you know, they're not going to sit around and try to pick you apart because you haven't been in the fight for a while. And what I talked to a guy, had a guy come here, and he hadn't preached in 20 years. Guy was if you would have voted who would have been the most successful preacher out of that whole bunch, he would have been it. His name's Tom Harper. We had him come by here and preach one night, and he stumbled around, and finally he got going preaching a little bit, and I was trying to encourage him. I wanted to get him back in the saddle. I want to get people back serving God. And his son was sitting over here. His wife was sitting over here. And you know what happened? He told me, he called me later. He said, well, my wife, on the way home, she kept saying, all them people are a bunch of hypocrites. She didn't want to serve God no more. And you know what he told me? He said, I'm going to ask you something. Your son's 20 years old. I said, is he saved or 21? He says, I don't know. I said, you mean you haven't even asked him? Here you are. He knew the Bible. He knew the dispensations. He memorized most of the scripture of all the classes we went through. And the guy knew Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. I said, you don't even know if your son's saved? You know what he said? He said, brother, if I get right, my wife's going to leave me. And he said, I'm not willing to pay that price. I said, you mean you can't even go to church? He said, I've tried. But she picks everybody apart when we leave. What a sad thing, man. You're talking about dying like a fool. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, how thou cannot bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, have found them to be liars. Found them liars. And hath borne and hath patience for my name's sake, have labored and has not fainted. These people were doing, they were doing the job, but they didn't have a love for it. They were doing the job. And I heard Jack Hiles preach on duty, and I believe in that. I believe in doing my duty when I don't feel like it, when I don't have a love for the Lord, when I'm not fired up, still do my duty. I believe, why? I remember Jack, I listened to Jack Hiles, that message, I must have listened to it 10 times. I'm riding down the road, my wife said, will you just quit, turn it down? I got it full blast. I'm listening to it, I'm shouting back at him, going, yeah, yeah! I'm riding down the road screaming. Why? I need stirred up. Yes, sir. And he preached, he said, you know, he said, when I was a little boy, I didn't like okra. He said, I didn't like okra at all. He said, my mama forced me to eat okra. He said, I hated okra. He said, you know what? He said, I'll tell you what, right now, he said, you can put okra in front of me or a steak, a best steak from any steakhouse. He said, I'll take the okra. He said, I got a love for it now. And what he preached on, he said, you just do your duty until the love for it comes back. And you start praying, God, give me a love for your service. Give me a love to do what's right. He said, what happens if you lay out, you quit? He said, your love will never come back. Your love will never come back. He said, because you'll just be out there. The Lord says, you're doing the job. You were doing it, but there's one thing. There's one thing wrong. He says, look at verse 3. Thou hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left the first love. You left your first love. The Lord wants first place. Wouldn't it be, I mean, I would love to be able, since the day I got saved, been in love, had the Lord first place in my life. I loved him all the way through and never fainted, never quit. Just, I mean, on fire for God all the way through. Wouldn't that be great? But we all go through valleys. We have mountaintops, valleys. We go through these times in our life, but you got to stay in, stay close enough to hear his voice. So that love will, you know, a man and a woman have been married. My wife and I have been married 35 years. 45. 45 years. I love her. I'm going to tell you something, but love has to be worked at. Sometimes you can say some stuff to each other and get on each other's nerves. Love has to be worked at. And you know what I found? I found God's love for us never changes. It's there all the time, the same. Guess who moves? We do. We move away from his love. And we don't love him like we used to. And I found this. When you find people slacking on things, they can say, well, so-and-so, you know, just like little children. They'll, you know, whenever the child gets ready to get a spanking, well, they did it. They always want to accuse somebody. That goes back to the Garden of Eden. It's in us. But what we want to do is we want to blame somebody else why we're in the condition we're in. Nobody got you in that condition but you. But we want to blame somebody for it. And it's not their fault. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. The Lord said, I got something against you. You don't love me like you used to. He said, how do you know? How do you know, Lord? He said, I feel it. The Lord knows and feels your love. He sees it. That doc used to say this, you know a man, here's how you know a man. You find out what he loves and what he hates. If a man loves other things more than he loves God, Find out what a man loves and what he hates. The Lord said to the church of Ephesus, I got something against you. I pray that Faith Baptist Church, that he wouldn't say, when we all get to heaven and we stand as a church, you know what? Y'all did the job. Y'all worked good. You ran them buses. You picked out those kids. You did all you're supposed to do. Cleaned the bathrooms. You did all that stuff. Cleaned the floor. Kept the parking lot looking good. Kept the grass. But you didn't do it out of love. You just did it because you had to. Because reputation. People are looking. I want to do it because I love him. You know what? If you do it just because of duty, you'll get mad. You'll get mad at people. I come out here and cut the grass. I'm not thinking about nobody out here going, well, why ain't they out here doing this? I don't think about that. I think, hallelujah, I can cut. And Josh says to me, he says, well, you don't think nobody can do it right. Amen. That might be true, too. Justin said to me the other day, he said, why don't you let me work on the buses? I said, I just like doing it. He goes, you just don't think I can do it right. I said, well, since you said it. But he's a better mechanic than I am. A lot better. 10 times better. I do it because I love him. I want to do it. So why do you preach? I love him. Yes, sir. I love you. But when my love gets cold, I still do it out of duty. I still do my job. Amen. I've been doing the job here 32 years. I still plan on doing my job. I started out, I loved him. I want to finish because I love him. Look what he says. You say, what do you do about that, losing that love? He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. When you don't love God like you used to, you're fallen. He says, from whence thou art fallen. And he says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Remove thy candlestick out of his place. Notice that, his place, except I repent. That's talking to the church. I realized this had three applications. You got tribulation application, you got spiritual application, and you got historical application. The spiritual application, it could be applied, you can't lose your salvation. But removing light, the candlestick, walk in the light as I am in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. You'll lose that fellowship. That light that God gives you in the way. So when I stood before that judge, I wasn't expecting that judge to dismiss everything. I said, Lord, I'm guilty, but have mercy. God took it. You said, well, did I give somebody the credit? Nope, other than him. I got out. Thank you, Lord. I know that was you. And I know I need to listen. I know I need to listen. I'm sorry. I repent it. God says, I want first place. I want first place. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to take it. I want you to give it. It's only right. He made us. He says to the Pharisees, Matthew 23, he said, clean the inside of the cup first. He said, the outside take care of itself. You know what our problem is? We're busy taking care of the outside. But the inside, that's where we get hard and get cold. You doing business with God? Does he have first place in your life? Do you love him? You can tell When a person loves the Lord, they just can't shut up about him. When the person's in love with somebody, they just want to be around them all the time. They just want to be with them. And when somebody loves the Lord, it ain't like, oh, man, I got to go to church. I got to go to church today. Come on. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. But when you love the Lord, you go, yeah, let's go to church.
Amen.
Let's sing. Let's praise him.
Amen.
Why? I love him. Do you love him? Your love will be tested. It will be tested. When my wife and I was dating, she said she loved me. She did. I snuck around at night and hid in her bushes to see if anybody else was coming around. Said, were you crazy? Yeah. I hid in the bushes. He said, what would you have done? I would have hurt somebody. But God ain't me. God, he's all-knowing, all-seeing. He knows your heart. He sees it right now. When I pray, I'm going to say, Lord, I love you. I try to be in the habit of telling even brothers and sisters in Christ, when I get ready to hang up, I try to remember, I love you. I try to tell them that, I love you. And I don't say it if I don't mean it. I love you. When you tell God you love him, a lot of times when we're praying, we don't tell God we love him anymore. Why? Because your own heart will condemn you. Your heart will condemn you. He'll say, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. If a man loves God, the same is known of him. Nobody's got to watch you. You don't need a policeman coming by saying, you need to be in church. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do that. And you won't be pointing your finger at everybody else saying, well, they hurt me. They said that. They did this. They did that. You won't be doing that. You'll be saying, the one that hurt me, I love him. I'm praying for him. I forgive him. I ain't worried about it. If a man loves God, the same is known of him. He loved the Lord this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer.